Good evening, Victor.
Oh, did Elizabeth tell you to come down this way, Professor?
No, I found the entrance to your laboratory quite by myself.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion.
He kissed me all over.
I'm going crazy, come here.
This is not a love song.
The flashing beauty of two gorgeous females in a fight to the finish.
Wolfgang Parker, I'm dead.
Well, when I go out walking, there's always company. Yeah, when I got no money, well, she's always wild and free. Well, she comes around the corner, looks me in the eye. Well, oh no, presto, blame everything at me. Well, when I think she loves me, she's loving three or four. Well, when I think it's over, well, there's always just one more. Yeah, I'm trying to get away now, but it ain't no use. Well, oh no, everything at me, and I'll take it right between the eyes. It is spread for me when I'm dead.
Believe in the boogeyman.
Rumored Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
The deep end of horror.
Hey, fiends, welcome to the show. Welcome to Rumored Radio, the Weird Wide Web's original all-horror broadcast. Yes, thanks for tuning in. I'm here, as always, Tomb Dragomir, your sinister sorcerer of salacious sounds.
Drink from his cup. Pledge yourselves. And together we'll all freak out.
Freak out, yeah. Right of freak out. This week on the Freaky Broadcast.
The Coalition for the Homeless took out airspace, took out radio space to tell us off. And I was thrilled. I really was expecting them to pick at the theater. I mean, that would have done wonders for us, you know. Unfortunately, they didn't go that far.
Mm-hmm. Talking trash, street trash, that is, with filmmaker and writer Roy Frumkus. Our blood-spattered guide's got Peter Murphy's top five and the caustic critics. Get invited to the Shock Festival.
I know just the treatment for you.
Beautiful, helpless girls forced into submission, performing countless acts of passion. Their only defense, to give in.
Scary sounds are all around and abound this week. Yeah, music from Mars, the anti-inflammatory action force Green Goblin Project. Plus tons of Marvonsicom. Hey, let's go with Grave Robber. Altered States on your home for the Planet of the Apes. Remark.
What became of the wretch that was me? That old creature born to death, the regulating blood and mucus fill the lungs. Asphyxiating civil predator. Resurrection. A Frankenstein's monster.
Nut zippers.
Around and it's spreading like fire through the town. There's a virus holding up inside us. Everyone that I know is coming down. There's an Asian influenza infecting us all by the score, and it's turning into pneumonia. We must go out once more. There's a full moon howling at the night, and its bark is much worse than its bite. So we must go out and dance around. Yes, we must go out
with their flasks and their caskets and vials. Mass psychosis was their diagnosis, so we all cashed our checks and went wild. There's a full moon howling at the night, and its bark is much worse than its bite. So we must go out and dance around. Yes, we must go out tonight. La Grippa. La Grippa.
This is Richard Gale, the director of The Horribly Slow Murderer with the Extremely Inefficient Weapon. The sound that you hear is Rue Morgue Radio being attacked by a spoon again and again and again. And again, 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 and again.
I don't need this.
Are you tired of the same old routine?
My wife, my
busting your hump and getting nowhere?
This just ain't my day.
The boss. Is he always on your back?
Nice, my ass belongs in your chair, not in your lap, which is where you keep trying to put it, you bastard.
The wife.
You know.
And the kids.
Is that right?
They never listen.
I hate to see him pissing his life away in them goddamn computers.
Do you ever feel like forgetting the whole thing?
You think I got it easy?
Well, now you can.
I'm talking about life!
Drop out and join the ranks of the few. The filthy. Crash.
Alright. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
Alright, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan? I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then tough titters.
All right, this is Feedback, and my guest this week is filmmaker Roy Frumkes, best known as the director of the pioneering behind-the-scenes film Document of the Dead, the definitive look at the making of George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead and Two Evil Eyes. He's also the producer and screenwriter of the low-budget 1980s splatter classic Street Trash.
Street Trash. It's easy to find us. Street Trash,
which is currently circulating on a Canadian roadshow tour via an uncut 35mm print. It plays Toronto at the Bloor Cinema on Thursday, February the 18th, as part of Rue Morgue's monthly Cinema Carb screening series. First, I want to tell you, I saw a 35mm print of Street Trash here in Toronto at the 1998 Fantasia Film Festival, at the same theatre where it's going to screen again next week.
Well, you'll be happy to know it's the same print.
Okay, I was wondering about that. If it's is it from your personal collection, is it?
It was the last print struck. There were only 13 prints of that film made, and I have the first and the last.
Now, you may have to jog my memory. I seem to recall at the same festival that we also got to see the Shaw film that inspired the feature-length version of Street Trash. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I certainly brought it up there, and I remember the guy that was running the festival making himself a dupe of it. It was about, I don't know, 12 minutes long. It was shot by Jimmy Muro in his second year at the School of Visual Arts, where I was teaching, and he was in my class, and it was showing that short film around town at after-hour clubs that got him suddenly, it suddenly got recognized, and people wanted to put up money for a for an enlarged version. But what they wanted to do was pay for another hour and just tag it on to that 12 minutes, making it like a short feature. And I suggested to him that he had real aspirations to go into the business, to get a Steadicam, to go to Hollywood. So I said, I think you want to do something much more polished looking than that. Why don't I write you a script? Well, he asked me to write the script, and I said, well, why don't I produce it too and raise the kind of money that would support the kind of film you're thinking of? And so we turned down the offers we had, but those offers motivated him.
What was the public reaction to Street Trash when it first screened back in, what was it, 87?
Yeah, 86 in Europe and 87 in the United States. The public reaction was suitably offended, you know? I mean, it was what we wanted, and we had a very elaborate campaign plan that was going to capitalize on that. Like in the New York Times, we were going to put a full page, and there was going to be a line down the middle, and on the left were going to be all the negative reviews from the critics, which we expected. And then on the right, they had asked me to get a bunch of quotes from my friends, from like George Romero, Wes Craven, Tom Savini, Jonathan Demme, John Waters, people like that. So it would be all the good quotes on one side, all the bad quotes on the other, and it would say, Street Trash, which side of the street are you on? And there were some other wonderful ideas for the campaign. Unfortunately, during the time it took, I guess, to get that film ready for release, Vestron had one or two mainstream hits, and they were afraid to offend the critics. And like they had Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
And they had Platoon. And they were afraid to offend the critics, so they kind of nixed all of those wonderful creative ideas.
And what were some of the prevailing criticisms of the film?
The New York Times said, if our forefathers had anticipated Street Trash, they would have rethought the First Amendment.
Boom, roasted.
That's excellent.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I mean, those are, what great quotes. You know, those could only help us. And then it said, Street Trash, the director, Jim Muro, is 21 years old. It seems to have been directed by a much younger person. No, they were great. They were just, I have a collection of all the reviews, and they were just wonderful. You know, but we designed that film to be democratically offensive to the mainstream, so they played into our hands. You know, it was the rare positive review had us scratching our heads, you know?
Freddie, I need your advice. I haven't had a decent bowel movement in a month.
It's probably why your breath stinks so fucking bad. You walk in AIDS factory. Here's what you do. Get some fiber. Mix it in with your hooch. Raisins are good. Anything with raisins. Drink that down, it'll clear you right out. All right?
Good idea, Freddie.
But in response to a criticism that you were exploiting economically deprived persons for the purpose of some sort of malignant Schadenfreude glee on behalf of the audience, what would you say in defense of that?
Nothing. The Coalition for the Homeless took out airspace, took out radio space to tell us off. And I was thrilled. I really was expecting them to pick at the theater. I mean, that would have done wonders for us, you know. Unfortunately, they didn't go that far. But, you know, I did some research. I mean, it wasn't like the film was written without any forethought. I spent time with the police. In fact, the guy that stars in the film, Bill Chappell, is a retired cop, a super cop, you know, whose beat was Times Square and 8th Avenue. And I investigated what the derelict's backgrounds were, and most of them were riches-to-rags stories. They were people from the outskirts of Manhattan, like Long Island or Westchester, who had good jobs, who had trophy wives, who had kids in private schools, and suddenly, in a turn of economic events, they lost everything, and they flipped. Their minds collapsed, and they would travel to New York and hang out, you know, in the Lower East Side with the rest of the bums, And their families would check in once a month with the police, never them. They would never talk to them again. But they would send money in periodically just so the police could slip them some dough. And the police would keep track of them. And the character of Black Suit in Street Trash, the guy that melts on the fire escape and drips on me, he was word for word out of my research.
In 1965, I bet it all. Everything I had, it was a long shot, but there was nothing sure. I bet everything. My wife, my kids, everything went.
Tune in next time for part two of my interview with Roy Frumkus. For more details about the Street Trash Canadian Roadshow Tour, visit the website at www.vagrancyfilms.com.
You greedy scum bastard! You never share the goods, never! Well, I want some!
You bitch! You never defile me like that in front of the men!
What men? You Jews have deserted, you scumbag!
Shannon, didn't see you down there. What's happening?
Well, the Olympics are about to start, and Toom decided that he should be in an Olympic sport. However, marathon snoring is not, nor will it ever, nor should it ever be an Olympic sport. Sorry about that, Toom. Hey, everybody, it's Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world, and I really don't know if Toom snores or not. The Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival is having a marathon starting at noon on February 14th and going 24 hours until noon February 15th. Some of the films included are Night of the Creeps, The Thing, and Rabid. There will also be giveaways, live burlesque, and more. Tickets just 59 bones. Go to bostonsci-fi.com for details. Twisted's national winter tour kicks off on February 18th. They are scheduled to hit over 40 major cities nationwide. Kung Fu Vampire and Twisted's label mate Blaze Ya Dead Homie are touring with them, which will make for a wicked trio. You can find current updates on tour dates and venues at twisted.com. And in March, Saturday Nightmares, the Classic Horror Expo is at the Landmark Theater in New Jersey. March 19th to the 21st, a whole host of special guests will be there, including George A. Romero, Ken Forey, and Adrian Barbeau. Vendors, screenings, and more. Tickets $20 for a day pass, $55 for a weekend pass. Go to SaturdayNightmares.com for all the info. And if you've got something happening horror-wise you want the whole wide world to know, send me an email, Shannon@RoomMorgueRadio.com.
Thanks, Shannon, Frank, and Murphy. Bless, better guide, Lisa. Tons of fun to come. Here's the Green Goblin Project. Blood-Spattered Bride.
This is Eduardo Sanchez, one of the directors of the Blair Witch Project, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Sarah Roberts is in jeopardy.
Hey, lady, how about it?
Stay with her. Help her, for she has begun to feel the awful horror of the hunger. John Blaylock, the hunger has given him everlasting life. Until now, pray for him. Miriam Blaylock. She feeds one day in seven on the unsuspecting, and soon she will turn into something that you will never be able to forget.
And life signs terminate right here.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladouceur, your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio. I am also a real, live goth. As an unabashed child of the night, I have certain heroes, certain icons, and it is one of those gothic gentlemen that I'm going to talk about this week. He is first and foremost a singer whose dark, seductive growls heralded the first goth song ever, and an actor who played himself in one of the most important vampire movies of all time.
Haunting, mysterious, sensual, strange, perverse, riveting. The Hunger.
Peter Murphy was the leader of Bauhaus, that UK band that dragged German expressionist horror and grand guignol theatrics into punk rock in the very early 80s. In the 90s, he had a successful solo career as a kind of goth rock crooner, and he continues to perform to this day. Now, Peter may have gotten a bit soft in his old age since he got married, had kids, moved to Turkey. Now he sings more about beauty than the beast. But in his long career, he has done much to keep rock music shocking and scary. And so here are my top five creepy things about Peter Murphy.
Blood Spatter Guide, top five.
Number five is blasphemy. Peter was raised a strict Catholic, but then rebelled against that in his youth, writing songs like Stigmata Martyr, which he would perform fake crucifixion style.
Jesus is alive! Amen! Woo! Angels shouted that at the resurrection, moaning, said, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!"
He doesn't do that much these days. Peter has converted to Islam and finds those kind of things inappropriate. Well, perhaps in his exploration of philosophy and religion, one day he will rebel against this one, and I can't wait to hear and see what that sounds like. Number four, he used to tour in a hearse. The Bow Hearse-mobile could be seen across the English countryside, the band members in the back smoking hash until the gas ran out or the car broke down, and then they had to get out and push it to the gig. I would love to have driven past that scene, these four Grim Reaper types pushing a hearse up a hill. Love it.
Wait! We can't stop here. This is bat country.
Here's your half of the sunshine acid.
The number three reason to talk about Peter Murphy is that he is, without question, Lord of the Goth Dance. With apologies, of course, to Rumorg's own Sean Plummer, who is a close second and actually looks more and more like Peter Murphy all the time.
Boom roasted.
Peter was always interested in using movement to express his ideas, from the early Bauhaus videos when he twisted maniacally like some sort of stripper possessed, to the more choreographed theatrics where he would perform kind of like a bat. More recently, he's even started descending from the ceiling by his feet, like a bat. Oh, Peter Murphy, I love you. Except for the number two scariest thing about this man, sandals.
Say what?
I'm not joking. I had to stop going to see him for a while because he was performing in sandals. Now, I'm not saying you have to wear pointy-toed skull buckle boots for your entire life, but get yourself some nice footwear or go bare feet. I don't want to see your Birkenstocks. And they look ridiculous when you do the bat dance.
Ha! I got your hat! Take that, hatless! Now go back to the quad and resume your hacky sack tourney! I'm not gonna lie down for some frat boy bastard with his damn Teva sandals and his skull bandits and his Abercrombie and Fitch long-sleeved open-stitch crewneck Henley smoking his sticky buds out of a soda can while watching his favorite downloaded Simpsons episodes every night! Yes, we all love Mr. Plow. Oh, you've got the song memorized, do you? So does everyone else! That is exactly the kind of idiot you see at Taco Bell at 1 a.m. The guy who just whiffed his way down the bar skank ladder.
At the top of the list, the absolute most wonderfully creepy thing about Peter Murphy is his performance in The Hunger. He was cast to be a goth rock singer in a bar, and in that opening sequence, he steals the scene from David Bowie and Catherine Deneuve performing the Bauhaus hit Bela Lugosi's Dead in a cage.
What have you done to me?
I've given you something you never dared dream of.
What?
Everlasting life.
Peter Murphy, I salute you forever, and I hope that you get well soon. Peter was supposed to perform a concert this weekend, a webcast you could subscribe to watch from home, but it's been canceled due to illness. So I hope that he's back on his feet or strung up by them soon enough, and we'll leave you not with Bela Lugosi's Dead because it's extremely long and I've talked plenty already, but with my favorite Peter Murphy cover, a little sonic seduction, a little nuclear destruction. This is Final Solution on Rumorg Radio.
Girls won't touch me because I got a misdirection. Living at night isn't helping my connection. Infection, a little bit of fun's never been an insurrection. ultrasonic reduction. Guitar's gonna sound like a nuclear destruction.
Forever and ever.
Seems I'm a victim of natural selection. Meet me on the other side, another direction. Don't need a cure, don't need a cure, don't need a cure, need a final solution.
Stick around, yes. Psychedelic werewolves and a song about blood all coming up right after this word about blood.
In the early 30s, Adolf Hitler and his inner circle became obsessed with the occult. Nazi agents traveled the globe in search of ancient Nordic relics known as runestones. The symbols inscribed in these stones were said to describe the path to immortality.
When you rule the blood, death is no longer the end.
Blood Creek. Blood. Sometimes it sets my teeth on edge. Other times it helps me control the chaos.
As it bleeds from the freeway, it boils in the sun. All the rush hour drivers are now having some fun.
Anti-inflammatory action force. They do great work. You out of blood. And now it's Mars with a little psychedelic werewolf from the Shock Festival DVD. We got the Caustic Critics with a skinny on bat straight ahead. Stay tuned.
The wolf is coming.
Listen to the howl on the prowl. Our beastly fiend, the Wolfman, returns. We must tell him of the Count's party. You know how he likes to party.
Woo-hoo-hoo! How do you do, and how are you? I am a Wolfman, and our new word today is scrape-bop-blip, silly-o-bop-poof. Do it.
We'll be right back.
now, living flesh and dental scares,
blood spilling, chilling terrors, and one twin thrill show.
Ah, get it off me! Come on, man, help me, man!
No, don't!
The makers of Puke Shirt return with an all-new dimension in fear.
Blood pants.
Those pants just crawled up on Dad's tombstone.
Plus, from another world, the creature of evil returns, and this time it's personal in Blood Pants 2, Return of the Fly.
They cut the phones? How can they cut the phones, man? They're only pants.
Feel the blood leap from your veins as the pants leap from your legs.
Wow, that's weird.
Bloody Wonderful raves the New York Times for the most gruesome twosome of the year, Blood Pants and Blood Pants 2, Return of the Fly.
They're trying to screw with our brains. So what are we going to do about it?
Produced in Hollywood by Maniacs, playing now.
Hello, I am Macarena Gomez, the star of Sexy Killer. If you don't listen to Rumok Radio, I will punch your eyeballs with the stilettos of my high heels.
All right, pussy, come on in, pussy lovers! Here at the Titty Twister, we're slashing pussy in half. Give us an offer on our vast selection of pussy. This is a pussy blowout. All right, we got white pussy, black pussy, Spanish pussy, yellow pussy. We got hot pussy, cold pussy. We got wet pussy. We got smelly pussy. We got hairy pussy, bloody pussy. We got snapping pussy. We got silk pussy, velvet pussy, nalga hide pussy. We even got horse pussy, dog pussy. Chicken pussy, come on, you want pussy? Come on in, pussy lovers. If we don't got it, you don't want it. Come on in, pussy lovers.
The Caustic Critics.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
The stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics. They're here.
All right, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
Now, before we begin...
Yes.
I got an email.
You did?
It was an FYI.
That stands for your information.
Right. From a listener.
Oh, even better.
Claiming or warning us that when you and I get together on the show...
Yes.
This tends to turn into a, quote, pervery boys club, unquote.
Pervery boys club.
Pervery.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but if it meant... Pervy Boys Club, then I have to say I thought that was the whole reason that we got together to do this stuff.
Well, that was the old way.
Oh.
That was the old Caustic Critics.
Is there a new way?
There's a proverbial new leaf being turned as of this day forward.
Well.
From now on, Brother Lance, can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah, Brother Stuart.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God running all over me here tonight.
From now on, Brother Lance, it's going to be nothing but good, clean, wholesome, Christian horror family fun.
Hallelujah.
My. God's turned it around. God's turned me around. Amen.
What are we reviewing this week?
Well, in keeping with our new leaf and our new direction and our more wholesome ways, we are going to be reviewing Shock Festival, which
Sounds lovely.
It does indeed, sir.
But the shocks don't have anything titillating in them, I hope.
No tits at all, sir.
Nope.
The tits are right there.
Oh, did I say that word?
Mammaries. Oh. Mammaries, please.
Women's breasts.
Actually, I just noticed there is one of the trailers is for a movie called Titillation.
That's all you lesbians think about, isn't it?
Oh.
And it's nothing but... Well, I mean, trust me, when I watched this, I closed my eyes. I asked my girlfriend, can you just describe what's happening on the screen? And apparently what it was just a montage of nothing but bulbous, huge, overgrown, oiled bare mammary glands. Not that I watched...
Nice tits.
Oh, no, why would you? No, I'm glad that your girlfriend was there to help you through this traumatic time.
All right, this DVD is a 3-disc DVD set. I almost said 3DVD set, which would be really fucked 3DVD.
Up. 3DVD.
Sexually transmitted disease in 3D. No, it's a 3-disc DVD set that is a companion piece to Stephen Romano's book of the same name, which came out, 2008? It's 101 of the strangest, sleaziest, most outrageous movies you've never seen.
Because they don't exist.
With the book, it's like a coffee table book on exploitation cinema, complete with production stills and
notes,
lobby cards, and posters,
reviews
for movies that don't exist, and it is an impressive effort. So this is the 3DVD counterpart to the book.
3DVD. I got that in the Philippines once.
For Christ's sake, lady, spread your legs.
You really mean that?
No, and it's amazing because not only does it have a slew of amazing trailers for movies that we remember from our childhood and before that, it also has a selection of trailers for the movies that never existed, which I actually watched the first time and I thought that they did exist. I was thinking, I've never heard of this movie. This is incredible. There's a great movie there called Devil Sister that I went on eBay looking for and I couldn't find, and I wanted it.
Something is very wrong with Isabel. Two days ago, she was Daddy's little girl.
I have to go now, David. Eat your supper.
Tonight, God help us all.
Hello, brother.
Put the scissors down! Put the scissors down!
I wasn't a fan of this part of the DVD, because while the fake movie posters in the book are pitch perfect, I thought the trailers really fell short.
Really? I thought they, for the most part, they were as good, if not better, than the ones that were presented between Planet Terror and Death Proof.
No. The problem was they clearly were just shot on digital video with post visual effects work on it to scratch them up.
What did you want them to do?
You've got, like, chicks in the movie. Sorry, young ladies in the movie, adorned with tattoos and red hair.
Who does that remind you of?
But that's the thing. I mean, it's clearly not a girl from the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
This is like modern people pretending to be in like a grindhouse movie from the 70s or 80s. It just didn't work for me. What did work for me, however, is everything else that's on this DVD.
And disc two is a feature-length collection of horror trailers that features some great movies like The Stuff, Q, Daughters of Darkness, Shockwaves, and a lot of other movies.
My favorite one actually was The Blood-Spattered Bride and I Dismember Mama Double Bill with them interviewing that guy coming out to the movie theater.
Incredible.
Definitely the weirdest one.
This is Howard Scott on the scene for TV 12. We're at the Bijou Theater, where it's been reported that a man has gone berserk while watching a double feature horror program. The police are trying to subdue the man now. In fact, here they come. Excuse me, officer. I'm Howard Scott from TV 12. What happened inside?
Well, we got a 1040 saying some guy's gone berserk down at Bijou Theater, so come down here. Guy's gone berserk down at Bijou Theater.
Sir, did you like the movie?
A double explosion of bloody terror, Blood Spattered Bride and I Dismember Mama.
And also there's a great one for this movie called The Illustrated Man.
Oh yeah, the Ray Bradbury one, yeah.
And I think that's where Edgar Wright probably got his don't trailer from.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Don't dare stare at the illustrated man.
Also on disc two, and this was my favorite part of it, there was television ads.
Yeah, which are amazing.
There's a great interview with a fellow named Sam Sherman from Independent International Pictures, who made a lot of exploitation movie trailers, and he breaks down the whole art form, the tropes, and the conventions of how to construct one. And disc three features literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of radio ads.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the best part, Brother Lance,
yes,
is we have copies of this DVD 3D venereal disease collection to give away.
And what must our faithful listeners, our faithful brothers and sisters do to win such a great copy?
Our holy sheep, our flock, must write to contests@roo-morg.com with the subject line Shock Festival. Please include your mailing address.
Uh-huh.
That's very important. And preferably in the body of the email, some wholesome words to prove to us that you are, in fact, a good, God-fearing Christian horror fanatic.
Wow, is that such a thing? Is there such a creature out there? Prove us wrong.
And don't be shy. If you put off by our sheep shagging comments from a few months ago, I assure you, we've cleaned up our act, we've changed our ways, we're now good, clean, wholesome American boys.
And I pledge that I will never stalk another Asian schoolgirl in a kilt ever again, brother.
All right, until next time, this is Feedback doing three Hail Marys and a hand shandy.
And this is Last Chance Lance saying praise the Lord and pass the lotion.
I never wake up early in the morning. Don't get home till late at night. Don't believe in overworking. And I never treat a woman right. 'Cause I'm a man. I'm a man. I like to be the center of attraction. Let the people know just who I am. Like my movie shows with lots of action. Take my fear straight from the can. 'Cause I'm a man. 'Cause I'm a man. I'm not the type for settling down or raising a family. Just give me a room with music and dice. That's the place for me. I never like to lose a nickel, although I am a gambling fan. Smoke the cigarettes until my throat is raw. Don't believe in living to a plan. 'Cause I'm a man. 'Cause I'm a man. I'm not the type for settling down or raising a family. Give me a room with music and dice. That's the place for me. I never like to lose a nickel, although I am a gambling fan. Smoke the cigarettes until my throat is raw. Don't believe in living to a plan. 'Cause I'm a man.
Last week, we were talking about Lot, and we were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and we were talking about how Lot chose to go pinch his tits. Excuse me. Pinch his tits. Pinch his tits is what I said. And you heard nothing else here. This is church, my gosh. So he was pitching his tents close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what happened was, when he did that, he was getting too close to evil. And what I was challenging you guys to not do was to pick friends that were going to lead you to... Then stop laughing! All right? Man! Am I red right now? Holy cow!
You see? There's no one left but me and him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone,
don't come alone.
God's turned it around. God's turned me around. Amen.
Damn right.
Feel the blood leap from your veins as the pants leap from your legs.